The pasuk in Parshas Emor, Eilo Moedei Hashem Asher Tiku Oisam Mikroi Kodesh, describes Shabbos and Yom Tov as days of Mikroi Kodesh, holy gathering. The Rabban explains that it's because on Shabbos and Yom Tov there is a mitzvah to come to shul to daven together, b'tzibor, together with Klal Yisrael, to be Mekadesh the day, to make the day holy. Ki mitzvah hi al Yisrael, lehi kabesh b'beis alekim b'yoyim moed, akadesh hayoyim b'far hesi b'tfilo. So at least on Shabbos and Yom Tov, according to the Ramban, there is a mitzvah, perhaps midrabbanan, to come to shul, to daven together with the tzibor. That's on Shabbos and Yom Tov. What I wanted to discuss this morning is there an obligation during the week as well to come to shul to daven together with tzibor, or is there not the same type of obligation as we have on Shabbos and Yom Tov? That obligation does not extend to tefillah during the week. However, even if davening during the week together with tzibor is not an obligation, as it is on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it certainly is a priority and the right thing to do. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Brachos and Daf Zayin Amud Beis that Amalei Rav Yitzchak or Rav Nachman, Rav Yitzchak said to Rav Nachman, "My time alo asi mal bei kenishal litzluye." One day, Rav Nachman did not come to shul to daven. So Rav Yitzchak asked him, "Where were you?" Amalei lo yachil, I wasn't able to come. So Amalei lichnefi lamar asar v'litzli. Why didn't you gather 10 men in your home and make a minyan in your home? Amalei trichali milsa. He said it was too difficult for me in order to gather them in my home. V'lemalei mal l'shulcha de tzibura b'din de matzit tzibura leisiv lo yidi lamar. Why didn't you tell the gabbai to give you a sign when they're going to be davening in the shul and you'll daven together along with them at home? Amalei ma'ikuli hai. Why do I have to make such an effort in order to daven together with the tzibur? Amalei damar Rabbi Yehoshua mishum mishum bayochai. My desiv. What does the pasuk mean? In Tehillim vaniz tefilasi l'cha Hashem eis ratzain. That my tefilah should be presented to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with a time of ratzain. Emasai eis ratzain b'shoah she'atzibur mispalin. When is the time that is an eis ratzain before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That is the time that the tzibur is davening together. So then your tefilah has a better chance of being heard is if it comes together. It becomes together with the tzibar. So it sounds like it's definitely preferable to daven together with the tzibar. And even if one is not able to be together with the tzibar, as long as you coordinate your tefillah that is occurring at the same time as the tzibar, it sounds like that you are also a beneficiary of the whatever benefits there are of davening together with the tzibar. As long as you daven together at the same time that they're davening. The Stipler writes in the Sefer Kilos Yaakov and Avodah Zarah and Siman Aleph that this is only if it's a tzibar that's in your town. If it's a tzibar that's somewhere else, then you do not, and your tefillah is coordinated with their tefillah, you do not get the benefits of davening together as a tefillah b'tzibor. Because the Gemara told us that Rabbi Yitzchak said to Rav Nachman, why don't you tell the Gabbai to signal you when they're davening in shul, and you'll coordinate your tefillah with theirs. Why do you have to coordinate with the tefillah that was in the tefillah b'tzibor that was taking place in his town? Presumably there's some other tefillah b'tzibor that's taking place somewhere else in the world at that exact moment, or some other neighboring town. Someone's davening at this point somewhere in the world. Why did he have to coordinate specifically with the tzibur that was in his town? So the Stipler writes, it sounds like from here that you need to coordinate with the tefillah b'tzibur that's occurring in your town. And the later paskim, Rav Shlomo Zalman, is quoted by the Sefer Isha Yisrael, that that's it's not even enough with that. It has to be specifically the minyan that you would normally daven at in your town. It can't just be that I open up a luach of the minyanim that are occurring in my town and I coordinate with them. I say, no, I'm going to coordinate with that minyan that's occurring in a different shul. It has to be the minyan that you would normally daven at. And I believe that this is a manifestation of another principle that we find in other areas of halacha, that the actions of the tzibur are incumbent upon all of the members of that tzibur, even if they happen to not be present at that time, and you would also gain the benefits of that tzibur, even if you are, you know, the privileges of the tzibur, even if you're not present at the time. For example, the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Mereish Sam Gimel Sif Yod Beis that if Rav of the tzibur is accepting Shabbos at a certain point in time, so then even the minority of people who are not present at the time are bound by their Kabbalah Shabbos. Or, this is quoted in Hilchus Nida as well, that a woman has to do a bedika each one of the 7 days of the Shiva Nekiyim before the Shkia. So if the Tzibor already said Baruch Hu, they already daven Mariv, so then it's considered to be the next day, and her bedika would not relate to the previous day, but to the following day. Even though she's not present in Shul, nonetheless, acceptance of the following day by Rav of the Tzibor is incumbent upon all of the Bnei HaTzibor. However, that's only, Mishnah Berurah writes, that's only with regards to the people who normally daven in that minyan. Since you normally daven in that minyan, even though you happen to not be present at that time, the fact that the daven Marav makes it for, at least with regards to Bedikos Nida, like the following day. And similarly, with regards to Kabbalah Shabbos, even if you happen to not be present, but you normally would daven in that minyan, so then there Kabbalah Shabbos affects you as well, and comes upon you as well, and you would have to refrain from doing malacha once the tzibor accepted upon themselves accepted upon themselves Kedusha Shabbos. For that reason, typically a woman, even if she's not in shul, but her husband went to shul to daven at the minyan that he normally davens at, well, once he accepts Shabbos in shul, she should really refrain from doing malacha at home. However, Ramosha writes, in the Gros Moshe, that that's only if the husband and the tzibah are accepting Shabbos early as a... because they're motivated by Kedusha Shabbos and they want to add on Tosefa Shabbos. But let's say the only reason they're davening early and the only time they daven early is in the summertime in order so that they should be able to eat the Friday night meal at a reasonable hour. So then Ramosha says, since they're not motivated by Kedusha Shabbos or Tosefa Shabbos, they're doing so just so they should be able to eat earlier, so then their Kabbalah Shabbos is not incumbent upon all of the Bnei HaTzibor, and the woman would still be a wife who's at home, who's not present for Tefillah, would be permitted to continue to do Malacha. She would not be bound by the Kabbalah Shabbos of her husband and of the Tzibor. So she could continue to do Malacha. She doesn't have to coordinate her abstinence from Malacha with her husband's Kabbalah Shabbos in Shul. At the same time, Rav Sternbach writes in his Shuvas van Hoggis in the name of Reb Chaim that by the time the husband comes home from shul, she should have already accepted Shabbos. Because if he's going to come into the house and he's going to be refraining from doing malacha, he's going to be getting ready for Kiddush, and she's going to still be doing malacha, so then that's a violation of lois is going to do lois sasu agudas agudas. It's just like you shouldn't have two people in the same minyan, one putting on tefillin, one not putting on tefillin on chalamoid, because that's a lois sasu agudas agudas. It's confusing. So too in the same home as well. Well, you should not have the husband who's already accepted Kedusha Shabbos and the woman and the wife who's still doing malacha. But typically speaking, that is the general principle. And that is that once a person normally davens together with a tzibur, he enjoys the benefits and he's bound by the acceptances of that tzibur, even if he happens to not be present at the time that they accept Shabbos, or perhaps at the time that they're davening b'tzibur. So even though he's at home, but he coordinates his tefillah with their tefillah, and he normally davens there, so he could enjoy the benefit of tefillah b'tzibur, even though perhaps he's not there at the time, he's at home. But it cannot be with a different, he can't coordinate with a different tzibur that he normally does not daven at and gain the benefit of tefillah b'tzibur. However, there is a Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah and Daf Dalet Amud Beis, which seems to imply otherwise, that as long as you coordinate with any tzibur anywhere in the world, it is considered to be tefillah b'tzibur. Because the Gemara tells us that there is a moment when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger is aroused against Klal Yisrael every day. As the Pasuk says, Kel Zayim B'chol Yom. And Bilam was the one who had the strength, had the ability to discern when that moment throughout the day was, and he would use that moment to daven and curse, to daven against Klal Yisrael, to curse them. However, the Gemara says that that moment throughout the day, even though we don't know when it is usually during the first 3 hours of the day. So Amar Rav Yosef, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Lo Litzli Inish Tzulusa, the musfe betlasha kamaisa the yuma but yuma kama the reshasa biyachid. You should not daven musaf during the first 3 hours of the day on Rosh Hashanah if you're davening biyachid. Why? Dilma came in the mifkadina. Maybe since it's the time the Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger is aroused. Dilma ma'ayna ba'uvde. They'll look and examine his activities, and they'll see that he did something. Perhaps it was improper. V'dafu le'mitvchi, and they'll ignore his tefillah. If you daven musaf during the first 3 hours, ihachi. If that's the case, the tzibur nami. Why, if it's only if he's davening Musaf b'yechidus, well, even if he's davening Musaf b'tzibor, we should be concerned that the anger of Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be aroused at the moment that he's davening, and they'll ignore his tefillah. So the Gemara responds, the tzibor nefisha zechusei. The tzibor has many zechusim, and therefore Kadosh Baruch Hu will never ignore their tefillah. Iyachi, if that's the case, the yachid tzafer namiloi. So they not only should you not daven Musaf b'yachid during the first 3 hours of Rosh Hashanah, you should not daven shachris b'yechidus either. So the Gemara responds, no, Kevin, the Ika Tzibur, the Kamatsu lo Kamarchi. Since Rav of the world is davening Shachris during the first 3 hours of the day on Rosh Hashanah, so he's protected by the fact that he's davening the same tefillah as the rest of the world. And it sounds like from this Gemara that he could tap into their tefillah, and even though he's davening B'yachin, he gains the protection of tefillah B'tzibur because they're davening the same tefillah, even though they're somewhere else, not in his town, certainly not the minyan that he normally davens at. So Tosfos already was aware of this situation, this implication of the Gemara, and Tosfos therefore responds, "Peirush Rabbeinu Tam, Hadamash Mahachad Mahani, Afil Kshatzibur Mispalim Makom Acher." That which it sounds like from here that you could gain the benefit of Tzibur B'Tzibur even though there is somewhere else. That's not the case. That's only Hainu Davka Dula Madchi. That means that they won't ignore your Tefillah. Okay, your tefillah is protected. If you're davening Shacharis at the time that everyone else is davening Shacharis, you're protected that they won't ignore your tefillah. But you don't gain the benefits of tefillah b'tzibur in the sense that your tefillah is more likely to be accepted. That you don't get. You get the idea that if it happens to coincide with the ace, that moment where Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger is aroused against Klal Yisrael, it won't be ignored, it won't be rejected, but you don't gain the benefit necessarily of tefillah b'tzibur. It sounds like those are two separate concepts. Hainu davka d'lo madchi. The only time you can gain the benefit of tefillah b'tzibur is if you're actually with the tzibur at the time. Or perhaps you get partial benefit if you coincide your tefillah with the tzibur that is in your city and the minyan that you normally daven at. As we said, you could perhaps enjoy the benefits of the tzibur that you normally daven at even if you happen to not be present at the time. But you definitely cannot coordinate with a minyan that's somewhere else and gain the benefit of tefillah b'tzibur. And then, so that's the implication of the Gemara over here in Brachos of Zayin Mebeis, that a person who davens, at least together with the Tzibur, certainly to the same, you know, in the same place as the Tzibur, or even if he's in his town, but it's the minyan he normally davens at, he gets the benefit of Tefillah b'Tzibur, and that benefit is that it's more likely that your Tefillah will be accepted. Taisus and Avodah Zarah understood another Gemara in Brachos to give a similar indication. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Brachos and Avodah Med Aleph, Tanya, Abba bin Yamin Oimer, ain't tefillah sha'olim nishmas el bebeis ha'kneses. Your tefillah is only heard if you're davening in shul, shenemar, lishmer, arena, vela tefillah, b'makam rina, sham tei tefillah. In the place of song, of praising Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is the place where you should daven. So Rashi understood this Gemara, that it's telling us is a preference always to daven in shul. Why is there always a preference to davening in shul rather than davening at home? Because that's where the tzibur davens and praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu with beautiful and pleasant voices. So even if you're going to daven b'yachidus, it's preferable to daven in shul. And this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that if a person, let's say, missed tefillah b'tzibur, better that he should come to shul to daven rather than davening in his own home. At the same time, the Mishnah Berurah says, if you're going to make a scene by coming to shul late, and that will create a rash, you know, it's a commotion that someone's coming, he missed davening, and look, everyone's staring at him, so then it's better to daven at home. But if you could do so without creating a commotion, then it's ideally better to daven in shul. There's a benefit to davening in shul. Again, ain't tefillah sh'shalom nishmas, so beis ha'knesses, it's more likely that your tefillah will be accepted in shul. So Tosfos actually had a different gear on that Gemara, Rabbi Akiva Eger, and his Gilgal Hashas, and that Gemara Maseches Brachos sends you, alerts you to the fact that Taisus in Avodah Zarah, the Taisus that we just mentioned, has a different girsa in that Gemara in Brachos and the Avodah Zarah. Taisus' girsa is not ain't filasu shal adam nishmas al beis haknesses, but ain't filasu shal adam nishmas ela im hatzibor. The only time your tefillah can be heard is that not if you're davening in shul, but if you're davening together with the tzibor. So again, tefillah b'tzibor seems to give you the advantage that it's more likely that your tefillah will be accepted. But at the same time, certainly it's preferable then to daven b'tzibor. But is it an obligation to do so? Or is it simply, it's preferable because it's more likely and that your tefillah will be accepted? It's a priority. In the list of priorities of tefillah, one of them is you should daven with, one of them perhaps you should daven in shul, but one of them also is you should daven together with the tzibur. Or perhaps, no, it's not just a preference, it's not just advantageous, it happens to actually be a formal obligation. So the Emek Brocher, right, Pamaramchik, one of the foremost Talmidim of the Brisker Rav, writes over here in Hilchas Brichas Kriyashma Ois Aleph, Ois Vav, that it is not an obligation, it's simply advantageous, it's a priority, but not a formal obligation. And he infers this from the Gemara Masechtas Brachas that we mentioned earlier. But the Gemara said that Rav Nachman missed coming to Shul one day. And Rav Yitzchak asked him, why didn't you come? He said, Lo Yachon, I wasn't able. So then he said, but why didn't you gather a minion in your home? Amalei Lichnefei Lomara, Sarva Litzli. So he responded, because Trichali Milsa. Nah, it was too difficult to do. Too difficult to coordinate, to find everybody's seats in my living room, to get them all sidurim. It's going to cause too much of a tumult to my home. He didn't do it. Lo yachilna. So says they make bracha, you see from here, what do you mean lo yachilna? It was a terichali milsa. How would we respond to other mitzvahs? Could we exempt ourselves from mitzvahs simply because it's a tircha? I'm not going to drink dalal kaisis. It's a tircha. I'm not going to lie to halakas neres chana. It's a tircha. Of course that does not exempt one from the obligation. So therefore, says they make bracha, he concludes, it must be, this is not an obligation at all. The Be'emes Tfilah B'Tzibur, Eina Klal Chi of Mitzvah Kachol Mitzvah D'Rabbanan. This is not a typical mitzvah, and that's why, it's just, it's a preference, it's a priority, it's advantageous, but if it's going to be a great tircha, it's not worth it. and you don't have to put yourself out that much in order to gain the advantage of davening betzibur. It's more likely your tefillah will be accepted, but at the same time, if it comes at a price, you don't have to. It's not at a certain point; it's not worth it. But it's not a formal obligation. It would be a formal obligation. It would have the rules of typical mitzvahs midrabbanan. That the fact that it's just an inconvenience or it's a tircha would not exempt you. And the Emek Bracha suggests that perhaps that's the inference of the Rambam as well in Parakhes of Hilchos Tefillah, Locha Aleph, where the Rambam writes, "Vo yispalo beyachid kozman sheyachol yispalo metzibor." You should not daven beyachidus as long as you can daven with the tzibor. And that seems to imply, perhaps, it seems to imply that this is not a formal obligation. You should daven with the tzibor if you can. Why would you daven with the biyachidos when you can daven with the tzibor? The language of the Shulchan Aruch is yishtadel, that a person should do his best to daven with the tzibor, but it does not imply that this is an obligation, but rather it's a preference, it's advantageous, and therefore it is a priority, but not a formal obligation. However, Rav Moshe and the Igros Moshe Chelek Bei Simchav Zayin disagrees. And he explains that the reason why Rav Nachman did not gather a minion in his home doesn't mean trichali milsa. It means he was sick. It was impossible. That's why he missed davening. He was obviously, it wasn't just an inconvenience. He wasn't well. So it was too much for him. He was literally a chayla. And that, why do you think he didn't come to shul in the first place? He said, lo yachilna. So it must be that he was unable. It wasn't just a mere inconvenience. And Rav Moshe brings a proof from the Gemara Masechtas Pesachim that seems to imply that davening together with the tzibur is indeed a formal obligation. Because the Gemara tells us how far does a person have to go to daven with the tzibur. So the Gemara says if it's going to inconvenience you, if you're traveling on a trip, and you have to backtrack a mil, which is how long it takes, the distance that a person travels in 18 minutes, if you have to backtrack a mil, you're obligated to do so in order to daven betzibur. More than a mil, you're not obligated to do in order to daven betzibur. But if it's only 18 minutes out of your way, then you're obligated to inconvenience yourself to backtrack 18 minutes in order to daven together betzibur. If it's along your way, meaning you're not inconveniencing yourself in the sense you're not backtracking. So the Gemara says you're obligated to move ahead 72 minutes, 4 million, in order to gain tefillah betzibur. But if it's going to inconvenience you, it's out of your way, you have to backtrack. You have to backtrack the distance that it takes that a person would travel in 18 minutes. The Be'er Halacha says now that we have faster modes of transportation, so then this would be measured not in distance but in time. So, and this is the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The one is should inconvenience themselves up to 18 minutes there and 18 minutes back in order to daven together with the tzibur. So therefore, Rabbi Yashiv writes, if let's say a person missed the minyan that he normally davens at, and he's going to have to daven a later minyan. But if he davens at a later minyan, he's going to get to work late, or he could daven be a chidus at home and get to work on time. So Rabbi Yashiv says, if he's going to come more, let's say he might miss his train, he might miss his bus, he might miss his ride. So if he's going to come 40 minutes late to work, it's going to inconvenience, davening betzibur is going to inconvenience him by 36 minutes, a mil there and a mil back. And then if it's less than that, he should go and daven with the tzibur. If not, then he doesn't have to inconvenience himself that much. He doesn't have to go and daven betzibur and come that late. But Rav Moshe says, how could it be, he observes, how could it be that the Gemara gives us how far a person has to travel, a rule about how far you have to travel in order to daven betzibur, if there's not an obligation? Must be that this is an obligation to daven with the tzibur, and that's why the Gemara gives us a rule about how far you have to travel in order to daven with the tzibur. So therefore writes, Rav Moshe Negles, Pal Basara hu chiyuv mitzvah ha'odem v'loi rak hidor umayla ba'alma. This must be an obligation, because the Gemara gives us rules about how far you have to travel. Since we see you have to travel in order to get to be present at a minyan, must be it's a formal mitzvah. However, the Emek Bracha would respond that from that Gemara itself, you see a further proof that this is not a formal obligation. Because where do we find a parallel, a formal obligation that a person is relieved from it simply because he has to travel 40 minutes? One is not relieved from Dalet Kaisais because he has to travel 40 minutes to obtain wine. You're not relieved from Neiris Chanukah because you have to travel 40 minutes to obtain oil to light the Neiris Chanukah. So why are you relieved from the obligation to daven betzibur just because you have to travel 18 minutes there, 18 minutes back? Must be that this is not an obligation. This is rather a preference. It's advantageous. And the Gemara is telling you how far you have to travel, that it's worth it to get the advantage of tefillah betzibur. At what point is it too much bother that you don't gain, it's not worth it just to gain the preference of davening betzibra, that you're more likely that your tefillah will be answered. Or at what point is it worth it? So the Gemara says, if it's up to 18 minutes there, 18 minutes back, it's worth it. If it's more than that, it's not worth it. And the Emek Bracha continues with this line of reasoning, and he notes that even though the Gemara says, Masechtos Pesachim, you have to travel in order to be present at the minyan, sounds like you have to travel to be present at the minyan. But let's say I live in a place, in a city, where there is no minyan in town. Do I have to hire people to come, 10 people to come to make a minyan? Well, you're not obligated to hire people to come to make a minyan. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch that on Yomim Leiroim, you would hire people to come to make the minyan. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, hire people to come to make a minyan. But that could be because the Ramban told us that Shabbos and Yom Tov describe as Mikrai Kodesh, days of holy gathering, because there's an obligation to daven with a minyan on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But that implies that one is not obligated to hire people to come to make a minyan during the week. Says the Emek Bracha, why not? Typically, by a mitzvah, you're obligated to spend money in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Up to chaymeh shechasev, a fifth of your assets, you're obligated to give up in order to fulfill a mitzvah, whether it's deraisa or the rabbanon. So how come over here you're not obligated to give up your money in order to fulfill tefillah betzibur? Again, the Emek Bracha infers, he derives from here, that it must be, it's not a formal obligation, it's simply advantageous. It's preferable to daven with a tzibur, you're more likely that it's priority, more likely that your tefillah will be answered, but at a certain point, you're not obligated, it's simply not worth it, you're not obligated to do anything necessarily to put yourself in a situation that you're able to daven betzibur. It's not an obligation at all, it's simply a preference, and therefore to pay money, you're not obligated to do it. You could if you want to, certainly, and you would get the benefit of tefillah betzibur, but one is not would not be obligated to do it. Or let's say Rabbi Yashiv says, let's say a person is going to come late to work and he's going to risk his job. Not just that he'll inconvenience himself, but he might lose money. So certainly you're not obligated to lose money in order to daven tefillah betzibur. And again, the Emek Bracha infers that perhaps that's because it's not an obligation at all, like other mitzvahs midrabbanan. It is rather advantageous, a priority, but not a formal obligation. If that's the case, and this is reflected by the Gemara Masechtos Pesachim, that's why you don't have to travel so far, it's not a formal obligation, then it could be, according to the Emek Bracha's line of reasoning, that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, where there is perhaps an obligation to daven betzibur, you'd have to travel more than 36 minutes, or 18 minutes there, 18 minutes back. You might even have to walk a few hours to put yourself in a situation that you're able to daven betzibur. Because it's only during the week when there's no obligation to daven betzibur that you're only obligated to walk. It's only recommended that you walk 18 minutes there, 18 minutes back. When a Shabbos and Yom Tov, where there is an obligation, perhaps you would have to walk even further. So what emerges is, this seems to be a machlekes between Rav Moshe and the Emek Bracha. Is it just preferable? Is it advantageous to daven with a tzibur? Because it's more likely that the tefillah will be heard. That seems to be the opinion of the Emek Bracha. Or Rav Moshe disagrees and he says, no, it's a formal obligation. It might be less severe than other obligations in the Rabbanon. We actually have to spend money, or you have to inconvenience yourself even more by walking 18 minutes there, 18 minutes back. So it might be less severe than other the mitzvahs in the Rabbanon. But at the same time, it is an obligation to daven with a tzibar even during the week. Indeed, it seems that this issue, Machlek Sinei Mekbrach and Rav Moshe, about whether it's just advantageous to daven with the tzibur, it's more likely your tefillah will be answered, or to formal obligation, seems to be a Machlekes HaRishonim in two places. The Gemara tells us in Masechtos Brachos, Daf Mem Zayin Mebeis, that once Rabbi Elazar entered into the shul, and he saw that there were only 9 men there. They didn't have a minion, but he had his Eved with him, an Eved Kenayni, but Eved Kenayni is not mitzarev to the minion. So he freed his Eved Kenayni. Nebuchadnezzar therefore became a full-fledged Yisrael, and he was mitzarev to the minion. So the Gemara asks, how was he able to do this? V'hechi avid hachi, but he was over on an asay. He violated a mitzvah asay in the Torah, where it says, v'oy la'olam b'hem tavaydu. You're not supposed to free your Nebuchadnezzar. La'olam b'hem tavaydu. They should serve you for eternity. So the Gemara explains, how was he able to then to free his Eved in order to be mitzarev to the minion? So the Gemara says, l'dvar mitzvah shiny. For a mitzvah, it's different. The Gemara says, but why now? You're only able to fulfill the mitzvah because you violated an avera in the course of fulfilling that mitzvah. That's a mitzvah above avera hi. So Gemara responds, mitzvah derabim shiny. This is a communal mitzvah or a mitzvah that's being fulfilled by the community, and that outweighs, that eclipses the problem of le'olam b'hem tavayu, or the problem that overrides the problem of mitzvah above avera. So what mitzvah, though, was he concerned with fulfilling? What is the mitzvah derabim that's being addressed by the Gemara? So Rashi writes that it refers to reciting Kaddish, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu together with the Tzibur. That is a different mitzvah, perhaps from the Rabbanan, based on the Pasuk of V'nikdashti b'sarik b'nei Yisrael, you should make me holy in the presence of Klal Yisrael, that we are obligated to say Kaddish, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu, together with the Tzibor. So Rashi says he freed his Eved in order to recite that communal obligation. That's not a personal obligation, but when we have a Tzibor, it's an obligation to recite Kaddish, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu. So he freed his Eved in order to be able to recite those things and fulfill the mitzvah midrabanan of V'nikdashti b'sarik b'nei Yisrael. You should make me holy in the presence of Klal Yisrael. The Rashi himself, this brachis, is not fully satisfied with Rashi's explanation, because that's only a mitzvah midrabanan. How can that override the asei doiraisa of la'olam b'hem tavaydu, that you're not allowed to free an eved kenayni? So the Rashi discusses, can a mitzvah midrabanan override outweigh a different mitzvah midrabanan? How could that be? So therefore the Rashi is concerned with that dilemma. So therefore the Rashi suggests, no, perhaps Rebbe Elazar freed his Eved, not in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Inikdashi B'Sayik B'nei Yisrael, but in order to fulfill Parsha Zachar. We're reading Parsha Zachar together with the presence of a minion is a fulfillment of a mitzvah, the rise of Zachar, Esa, Asher, Asalucha, Amalek. The Rashi's opinion is that that has to be fulfilled in the presence of a minion, Midday Raisa. And that's why he freed the Eved in order to lay in Parsha Zachar together with a minion. That would be a mitzvah Midday Raisa that would outweigh the mitzvah Midday Raisa of La'olam B'hem Tavaydu. So either it was V'nikdashi B'Sayich B'nei Yisrael, or was in order to fulfill Parsha Zachar. However, the Ramban, and his Kamsa Masech Tzgin, Daf Lama Chesim Abayz, writes what is perhaps the most obvious explanation, and that is that Rebbe Elazar freed his Eved in order to daven Tefillah B'Tzibor, Shmona Esra, together with 10 men. T'mahani v'chimim dey mitzvah was power B'Tzibor, Dachu Asei Shabbatar. And then the Ramban asks, how could it be the mitzvah, Midrabanan, of Tefillah B'Tzibor overrides and Asei Doiraisa of La'olam B'hem Tavaydu, the same question as the Rush. However, the Ramban understood the Gemara that it's referring to the mitzvah, the obligation to daven Tefillah B'Tzibor. The other Rishayim did not learn the Gemara in the same fashion. They did not interpret the Gemara like the Ramban. And I believe that it's because the other Rishayim reject the premise of the Ramban. There is no mitzvah to daven tefillah b'tzibor. According to the Ramban, this is perhaps the basis for Rav Moshe, this is a mitzvah midrabanan to daven tefillah b'tzibor. And the other Rishayim held, no, it's advantageous. It's a priority. It's more likely that your tefillah will be accepted, but it's not a formal obligation. And therefore, Rebbe Elazar would not have freed his Eved in order to create a minion just for Tefillah B'Tzibor. That's not an obligation at all. It's advantageous, but it's not a mitzvah which would have enabled us to override the Asei Doraisa of La'olam B'hem Tavaydu. So this issue between the Emek Brach and Rav Moshe, is it a formal obligation to have Tefillah B'Tzibor? Is it simply advantageous? Is it a priority? Seems to have its roots in this Machlekes HaRishayim between Rashi and the Rosh and the Ramban. The Rebbe Elazar free his Eved in order to daven tefillah b'tzibor because there is a mitzvah to daven tefillah b'tzibor like the Ramban, or perhaps like Rashi and the Rosh, that there is no formal obligation to daven tefillah b'tzibor. It's advantageous, it's a priority, but not an obligation. I believe this is also perhaps the underlying issue in another machlokes HaRishayim. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Brachos and Avchesem and Aleph, commenting on the pasuk Oyev Hashem Sharei Tzion Mikol Mishkanos Yaakov, that Oyev Hashem Sharei Mitzuyon B'Halacha, Kadosh Baruch Hu prefers the gates of Halacha, Yoyzim Yibatei Knesios Yibatei Midrashos, more so than the shuls and the Batei Medrash. So the Gemara extrapolates from that, that Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Ein Lola Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olamai, Ela Arba Amos Shalacha Bovan. From the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only found within the Daled Amos of Halacha, not in the Batei Knesios or the Batei Midrashos, or more so within Talmud Torah than in the Beis HaKnesses. So Abaye, based on this statement of Rabbi Chiya Bar Ami in the name of Ula, Abaye changed his practice. V'amar Abaye, Meireish Havi Garisna B'Gor Beisa, initially I would learn in my home, U'matzlina B'Bei Kenishta, and I would daven in shul. Came into Shemano Lahod Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Ami, Mishmei De'ua, once I heard this statement, that Miyom Shachar Beis HaMikdash, Ein Loi LaHakadosh Baruch Hu B'Aylamo La'Abra Amash HaLacha Bovad, once I heard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can only be found in Talmud Torah, not, or at least less so, in the shuls, so lahavi matzlina alhecha de garisna, I would only daven in the place that I would only daven in the place that I learned. He wouldn't go to shul anymore to daven. He davened in the place that he learned. What does that mean? He davened. Was there a minion where he learned? Was he davening without a minion? So writes Rabbeinu Yoina in the name of Rabboni Tzarfas. Yes, shafilu belaya sara hayu oisin kain. He davened in the place that he learned, even though there wasn't a minion there. Better to daven in a place, B'yachidus, which is a place of an established place of Talmud Torah, Milas Pala, Beis HaKnesses, B'tzibar. Better to daven in a place where a person learns B'kfiyus than a place where the Tzibor davens B'kfiyus. So it sounds like from the Rabbanei Tzarfas that this preference of davening in a place of halacha on the Beis HaMedrash takes precedence to davening and to davening together with the tzibur. The Rambam disagrees, and Rabbeinu Yonah quotes the Rambam, Perushoi Amru El Basara. No, what it means is, of course, where he was learning, there was a minyan too. But what there was a bigger minyan in shul. So in shul, he would get Beroivam, that he's coming to daven together with a bigger crowd. That's preferable as well. But that preference of Beroivam is less important, less of a priority, the davening in the place that you learn. Davening in the place that you learn is more effective in enabling your tefillah to be answered than davening beroivam together with a large crowd. But neither one of those preferences, you know, davening together in a base medrash cannot outweigh davening with a tzibor. Davening with a tzibor is non-negotiable. So it sounds like for the Rambam, the davening with a tzibur is not negotiable, is because davening with a tzibur perhaps is a formal obligation. That's an obligation. That's a mitzvah mid rabbanon. So yes, there's different preferences and priorities in tefillah which enable your tefillah to be answered. One of them, perhaps, is davening in a place where there's Talmud Torah b'tfilas, where a person learns in a permanent fashion. But that is a preference that enables your tefillah more to be answered. And Kadosh Baruch Hu that cannot negate the formal obligation of davening tefillah b'tzibur. However, the Rabbanei Tzarfas believe that davening in the place where you learn b'kfiyus does outweigh davening together with the tzibur, because they believe davening together with the tzibur is not a formal obligation at all. It's a priority. It's advantageous. It enables your tefillah more. It's more likely to be answered if it comes together with the tzibur. But there's other priorities in tefillah. And one of them is davening in the place that you learn. And the Rabbanei Tzarfas felt that priority of tefillah, davening in the place that you learn, outweighs the other priority of tefillah, davening together with the tzibur. But davening together with the tzibur, in their view, is not a formal obligation. It's a priority. It's advantageous. It enables your tefillah to be answered. But it's a priority in a long list of priorities. There's other priorities, and it could be outweighed perhaps by a different priority. And this issue is, in fact, brought in the Shulchan Aruch and seems to be a machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Shulchan Aruch and Siman Sadi Sif Yud Ches writes that a person should daven in a place where he learns. It doesn't mean, by the way, that you daven in a place where someone else learns Bikfias. It has to be in a place, first of all, you have to learn, and it has to be in the place where you learn. It can't be that someone else learns there. But Beis HaMedrash Kavua Kadosh Yaisin Beis HaKnesses U'mitzvah Es Palbo Yaisin Beis HaKnesses. It's better for a person to daven in a place where people learn, more so than in a shul. But you have to have a minyan in either place. The advantage of davening in a Beis HaMedrash does not outweigh the advantage of davening with a minyan. But there are more rights, Yeshayimrim, Dafil Beloy Yud Adav Es Pal Beis HaMedrash HaKavua Loy. Better to daven in a place where you learn, even if you will lose the benefit of a minyan. Because the advantage, the preference of davening in a place where you learn, outweighs the benefit of a person davening together with a minyan. So it sounds like for the Shulchan Aruch that minyan, davening together with the tzibur, is non-negotiable. It loses out to davening together in the Beis HaMedrash. Must be that it's because it's not a priority. Davening together with the tzibur is a formal obligation, like Rav Moshe. But the Ramah seems to imply, like the Emek Bracha, that davening with a minyan is a priority. It's advantageous. But there's other priorities too. And perhaps it is outweighed by the priority of davening in a Beis HaMedrash, in a place where you learn. This seems to be, many issues that are Nogei Lamaisa seem to hinge upon this machlekes, perhaps machlekes HaRishonim, machlekes between Rav Moshe and Emek Bracha, as to how to understand, is there an obligation to daven tefillah b'tzibur, or is it simply advantageous, a priority, but perhaps there's other priorities as well. For example, the Gemara told us earlier, it's advantageous for a person to daven in shul. Gemara Masechtas Brachos Avav Amid Aleph Ain Tefillah Shel Adam Nishmasa Beis HaKnesses. So Tosfos and Avodah Zarah had the Girsa Ain Tefillah Shel Adam Nishmasa Lo Matzibor. Your tefillah can only be heard if you're davening with a tzibor. However, our Girsa in the Gemara is that your tefillah is only heard if you daven in shul, and that's why we said even if a person is davening via Chidos, it's preferable that he daven in shul. But what if he has the option of either davening in shul via Chidos or davening in a minyan b'tzibor, but it'll be in a house? A house minyan b'tzibor, or davening b'yachidos in shul. So the Mishkanes Yaakov writes, no, it's preferable in a tshuva, it's preferable to daven in shul b'yachidos, more so than davening with a tzibor, a block minyan, a house minyan in the house. Even though you're going to daven b'tzibor in the house, better to daven in shul. And I believe that that's because the Mishkan Yisakim understood that davening with a tzibar is a priority. It's advantageous. It enables your tefillah to be more likely to be answered. But again, there's other priorities too. Davening in Beis HaMedrash, or perhaps davening in Beis HaKnesses, is preferable. That enables your tefillah to be answered more so than davening with a tefillah b'tzibar. And since davening tefillah b'tzibar is just a priority, it's advantageous, but not an obligation. It could be outweighed by other priorities. However, the Tzlach, in his comments on that Gemara Masechtas Brachos, disagrees. And he says, no, davening b'tzibar is a formal obligation. So davening b'tzibar in a house is preferable to davening b'yachidus. If those are only two options, davening b'yachidus in shul. Certainly, if a person has an option of davening b'tzibar in shul, or davening b'tzibar in a house, certainly it goes without saying, davening b'tzibar in shul is better. But if you can only daven b'tzibar in the house, or daven b'yachidus in shul, the Tzlach says that you have to daven b'tzibar in the house, because davening b'tzibar is a formal obligation. So even though it's a priority, it's advantageous to daven in shul, that cannot outweigh the formal obligation of davening b'tzibar. Again, so that seems to hinge on this issue, but there are many other issues that are perhaps related, and Rav Moshe seems to be consistent in his positions with regards to other issues as well. For example, Rav Moshe was asked, if a person, let's say, davens with more kavanah when he's at home, because he's not disturbed by all the activity that's going on in shul, so is it can he daven b'yachidus in his house, even though he'll miss out on tefillah b'tzibur? Or should he go and daven together with the tzibur, even though he'll have less kavanah? So Rav Moshe says, no, you're obligated to go and daven in shul. It's a formal obligation to daven in shul, even though you'll be davening with less kavanah, the extra kavanah that a person will have in his tefillah at home cannot outweigh the formal obligation to daven b'tzibur together with the tzibur in shul. However, there were many tzaddikim, without naming any names, there are many tzaddikim who prefer to daven b'yachidus at home because they have more kavanah at home. They would come to shul for kriyas ha-Torah, but they would daven Shmona Esrei at home because they had more kavanah at home. And perhaps that's because kavanah is integral to tefillah. If a person doesn't have kavanah, so his tefillah is lacking. And that enables his tefillah, you know, to be more likely to be answered if he davens with kavanah. So therefore, they felt in terms of the list of priorities of davening, of enabling your tefillah to be answered, so davening with kavanah outweighs the priority, the advantage of davening b'tzibur. Even though, yes, davening b'tzibur enables your tefillah is more likely to be answered, but davening with kavanah is more preferable. But that's only if you assume that davening b'tzibur is not a formal obligation. If davening b'tzibur is a formal obligation, the fact that you have more kavanah at home cannot outweigh it. Must be that these tzaddikim, who did daven at home, were of the opinion that davening b'tzibur is only a priority, and it's advantageous, but it's a priority in the long list of priorities, and perhaps davening with kavanah would outweigh the priority of davening with a tzibur. Parenthetically, most of us do not have more kavanah at home. Most of us have more kavanah davening in shul. So therefore, for most of us, the shaila is moot. But, in fact, the Kosher Glover writes in the Shuvas Eretz Tzvi that most of us don't have kavanah in either place. We don't have kavanah at home, we don't have kavanah in shul. So he says it's always better than to daven with the tzibur in shul, because the Gemara says in Masechtas Tainis, on the Ches Min Aleph, that if you're davening without kavanah, and you're biyachid, your tefillah doesn't get answered. But if you're davening without kavanah and it's b'tzibur, then tefillah again, it's a possibility of being answered. So he claims a person should always daven b'tzibur, since none of us daven with kavanah anyway, in either place, neither at home nor in shul, better to daven with the tzibur. But either way, this issue of whether you could have more kavanah in one place or at home, or daven with a tzibur in shul, should you daven at home or should you daven in shul, seems to hinge upon whether or not davening with a tzibur, with a minyan, is a formal obligation, or whether it's a priority, a long list of priorities, and perhaps then could be outweighed by davening with kavanah, more kavanah at home. Another issue that's probably related to this is the issue of, let's say, a person could daven at the proper zman, b'yachidus, or daven not at the proper zman, b'tzibur. Let's say the only minyan in town is prior to Netz HaChama, before sunrise. So b'diyavid, you could daven before Netz HaChama, but it's l'chachila, a person should daven after sunrise, after Netz HaChama. So is it preferable to daven before Netz HaChama with the minyan, or preferable to daven after Netz HaChama, b'yachidus? So this issue was addressed by Rabbi Yitzchak Blazer in his Tshuvas Pri Yitzchak, Siman Aleph, and he claims, discusses the issue at length, but I believe that it really hinges upon this issue. If davening b'tzibur is a formal obligation, so then perhaps one should be obligated to do so, even though it's not the proper zman before Netz HaChama. But if, and that would be preferable to davening b'yachidus, but if it's not a formal obligation, if it's only advantageous, it's preferable because more likely your tefillah will be answered, then perhaps it has to be, though, the proper zman. The proper zman makes a tefillah much more likely to be answered than davening with a minyan. Because davening with minyan is a priority in a list of priorities, but certainly davening with the proper zman will be a greater priority than davening together with a tzibur. Or another issue, again, that seems to hinge upon this issue of whether or not davening with a tzibur is a formal obligation or a priority, is whether or not a person is allowed to put himself in a situation knowing ahead of time that he won't be able to have a minyan. This is discussed by Rav Shlomo Zalman in the Sefer Halicha Shlomo. Is a person allowed to go on vacation knowing, not that he gets there and he thought there would be a minyan and there's an oinus and there's no minyan. He knew Meirosh deliberately put himself in a situation where knowing that there would not be a minyan. You're allowed to go to a vacation to such a place. So Shlomo Zalman says, no, why should you put yourself in such a situation? But I believe that he's assuming that it's a formal obligation and therefore you're not allowed to put yourself in a situation where you're not be able to fulfill the obligation of davening tefillah b'tzibur. However, in the back of the Halicha Shlomo, there's Ha'oris from his son-in-law of Zalman Nechemi Goldberg, where he disagrees. He said, well, he's allowed to take a vacation, even though knowing initially that he's not going to have a minyan there, because davening with a minyan is not a formal obligation. It's a priority that enables your tefillah to be answered. Now, you know, more likely your tefillah will be answered. It's advantageous, but it's not an obligation. And therefore, one would be allowed to put himself in a situation where, even where there's no minyan, because it's not an obligation necessarily to daven with a tzibur. Of course, it's advantageous to daven with the tzibur. Why would you avoid davening with tzibur? But it's a priority, advantageous, and if it's too much of an inconvenience, then one would not be obligated. It could be at a certain point it's not worth it. But it's not that one would be allowed to do it because it's not a formal obligation to daven tefillah b'tzibur. However, it could be that this issue, machlekes achreinim, which we try to demonstrate is a machlekes rishainim, and is nogea to many issues that come up l'maisa, whether or not it's a formal obligation to daven tefillah b'tzibur, or it's just advantageous, it's a priority because it's more likely that the tefillah will be answered, seems to really hinge upon a deeper issue. And that is that what happens when a person davens together with the tzibur? Is it simply that when you daven together with the tzibur, so you're davening together, you know, safety is in numbers. And once the Ribbono Shel Olam opens up the gates of tefillah, if there's many people here, so then my tefillah, even though it might not have been worthy in its own merits, so it kind of squeezes through the door together with all everybody else's tefillah. That's an idea that the Bali Musa bring up with regards to Rosh Hashanah, that if you're part of the tzibur, and the tzibur gets a good judgment, you can be part of the tzibur too, and you'll get a good judgment along with them, even though in your own merits you perhaps are not deserving of that. So too over here, the gates of tefillah are open, because there's so many people here, and whenever you open the gates wide, some people could sneak in who don't necessarily belong. And my tefillah could sneak in together with the worthy tefillahs of the other people that I'm davening with. Or is a tefillah b'tzibur, when you daven together with 10 other people, that's an entirely different tzibur, an entirely different tefillah. It takes on an aspect of a communal tefillah. And the nature of the tefillah has been changed. It's not just a bunch of people davening together in a room, and safety is the numbers, but all of our tefillah is fundamentally the same, whether I'm davening at home, I'm davening in a shul, it's all the same. But if there's more people there, it's more likely my tefillah will be answered. Or perhaps no. Perhaps davening, when you daven together with a tzibur, it transforms the tefillah from being a tefillah siyachah to being a tefillah tzibur. It's an entirely different brand and genre of tefillah. And perhaps that's why Rav Moshe felt it's an obligation to daven tefillah b'tzibur, because Rav Moshe understood, or those Rishonim who felt it's an obligation to daven tefillah b'tzibur understood that the nature of tefillah has changed when you're davening with a tzibur. It takes on a communal aspect to it. And it's been transformed to a much more powerful tefillah than if you daven at home. It's not the same tefillah that you daven at home that you daven in shul together with the tzibur. And perhaps the Emek Bracha, or those Rishonim that felt that it's not an obligation to daven b'tzibur, it's simply advantageous, it's a priority, it's more likely a tefillah be answered, since they understood that it's fundamentally the same tefillah. When you daven b'yachad, whether you daven b'tzibur, it's fundamentally the same tefillah. It's just that if you're davening together with others, perhaps your tefillah can sneak in on their coattails. And this issue, again, seems to manifest itself in many areas that, again, come up in a practical level. And that is, for example, we know that there's halacha when it comes to Dvarim Shebekedusha, whether it's Kaddish, Kedusha, or Chazaras Hashatz, that even if you don't have, you of course need to be done in the presence of 10 men, but even if you don't have 10 people who are obligated, as long as you have 6 who are, then you can proceed. So let's say you want to daven Chazaras Hashatz, but you don't have 10 men here who haven't heard Chazaras Hashatz, you have some who davened already, as long as you have 6 who have not davened already, have not heard Chazaras Hashatz, even if you have 4 who already have, you can continue to say Chazaras Hashatz, or Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu. That's halacha when it comes to Dvarim Shebekedusha. But let's say we're making a minyan, and we only have 6 people who haven't davened, and we schlep in 4 people from the hall who davened already. So we can now say Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, and Chazaras Hashatz. But is our tefillah considered to be tefillah b'tzibur? Because how many people are saying Shemoneh Esrei? Only 6. So Rav Moshe writes in Igros Moshe that even though you get the benefit of Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, Vinikdashti, Besayich B'nei Yisrael, the communal obligation of Chazaras HaShatz, you do not have the benefit of Tefillah B'Tzibur, because L'maisa, only six people are davening. And in order to get the benefit of Tefillah B'Tzibur, you need all 10. I believe that that's because, again, Rav Moshe understood davening B'Tzibur is a formal obligation. Perhaps that's because when you daven B'Tzibur, it's a different Tefillah than when you daven by yourself. But the Tefillah can only be transformed to take on that communal element if you have 10 people who are davening, not if you have 6. If you have 6 people davening, it does not transform the Tefillah. It's only when you have 10 people who are davening. However, the Emek Bracha, Lishitasai, perhaps, disagrees. And he feels, no, that when you have 6 people who haven't davened yet, you have 4 who have davened already, but they join together to be B'Tzibur, so then you do get the benefit of Tefillah B'Tzibur, even though, practically speaking, there's only 6 people who are davening Shmoneh Esrei together. You do get the benefit of Tefillah B'Tzibur. Why? Again, because you have the numbers. So it's still more likely your tefillah will be answered. Better than davening by yourself. Because if you daven by yourself, you have to get in your own merits. Here you can be part of the group, and your tefillah is considered to be more likely to be answered. So again, that seems to hinge upon this issue too. Or perhaps it's more discernible with regards to a different issue. And that is, what is considered to be Tefillah B'Tzibur? It means that our Shmona Esrays are recited together. It's different than Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu. What Tefillah B'Tzibur means is that coming to shul is not just Tefillah B'Tzibur, it's not just Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, because our Sashah, Tefillah B'Tzibur means we're going to recite Shmona Esrei together. But do we have to start Shmona Esrei together? Or is it good enough that our Shmona Esrays overlap? So the Gemara tells us in Masechtos Brachos and Avchaval from the Beis, a person comes into shul, or he came late to shul, and he's not going to be able to start Shemoneh Esrei together with everybody else, but they already started in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. He could start in the middle of their Shemoneh Esrei. Should he do that, or should he wait for Kedusha, for Chazaras HaShatz? Because he already missed Tefillah B'Tzibur. So the Gemara says, "Hanichlas beisaknes matzah tzibur shemispalin em yochel lahaskev aligmar ad shlo yagia shliach tzibur." If I can finish my Shemoneh Esrei before the Chazan gets up to Maidim the Rabbanon, then you should daven together with them, overlap a little bit, and you'll finish before the Chazan gets up to Maidim the Rabbanon, and you'll hop around Maidim the Rabbanon during Chazaras HaShatz. Bishur ben Levi says, no, you have to finish before Kedusha. If you can finish your Shemoneh Esrei, again, they're in the middle of the Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei, the Silent Shemoneh Esrei, you're going to come, you came in, and now you want to daven together with them. You come into a Mincha Minyan, a Marav Minyan, they're ready up to Shemoneh Esrei. Should I now daven with them or not? So the Gemara says you should daven with them as long as you could be finished by the time they reach Kedusha. Or by the time they reach Moedim Derabbanan, by the time the Chazaras HaShatz will be up to Kedusha. So the Chazon Ish infers from this Gemara that even if your Shemoneh Esrei overlaps with theirs somewhat, it says when you come into shul and you see them davening, daven along with them. It sounds like you do get the benefit of Tefillah B'Tzibur, even though you didn't start together with them, but as long as your Tefillah overlapped with theirs, you do get the benefit of Tefillah B'Tzibur. However, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Gadim, who disagrees. And the Achranim say perhaps you could interpret and infer from this Gemara just the opposite. And that is that the Gemara never says every single person who's going to daven together with the tzibur should make sure to be done by Kedusha. It never says that. It says if you come in late, you have to make sure you're going to be done by Kedusha. Why? Because you're already not getting Tefillah B'Tzibur. You missed out on Tefillah B'Tzibur. So make sure if you want to daven first, you don't want to have to wait till they, just sit like a dummy waiting while they daven. So you can do that. You can daven now, but make sure you're done by Kedusha. But if you start a Shemoneh Esrei with them, that's real Tefillah B'Tzibur. You don't have to be done by their Kedusha. No, then you can continue afterwards. There's no conditions put on that. And that's because Tefillah B'Tzibur is really starting Shemoneh Esrei together with everyone. That's Tefillah B'Tzibur. And that's what Mishnah Berurah says, L'chatchila, Tefillah B'Tzibur is starting together your Shemoneh Esrei, together, all 10 people together. In fact, if Strombach writes in Chuvas Van Hagen, the Brisker Rebbe is very machbit about this issue, and in fact, in Eretz Yisrael, sometimes see Chazanim turn around and wait till there are 10 people standing and ready to go, before saying Goal Yisrael and starting Shemoneh Esrei to make sure that there are going to be 10 people at least who are saying Shemoneh Esrei beginning at the exact same moment. What should this issue hinge upon? Is it enough that tefillahs overlap somewhat, or do we have to begin Shemoneh Esrei together? So I believe, again, it hinges on this issue. And that is tefillah B'Tzibur, that we're all davening at the same time,
And therefore, my tefillah has a better chance of being answered because it comes along together with other people's tefillahs. And the gates of tefillah are open and my tefillah could sneak in. So in which case, it's enough if our tefillahs overlap. The gates are still open while you're davening. My tefillah can, sneak in along, hop around along with yours. Even if we didn't start together. That's like the Emek Bracha. However, if it's because, no, when a person davens together with the tzibur, the tefillah is transformed into a communal, takes on a communal aspect, it's a fundamentally different character of tefillah than if a person davens b'yachidus, and that's perhaps why there's an obligation to do it, but in order to gain that benefit, you have to start together. It has to be that communal aspect of us all starting Shemona Esrei together. It can't be that our Shemona Esrei simply overlaps somewhat. And with Chachilo, we try and start Shemona Esrei together, but even if not, we assume, like the Paiskim, that even if our Shemona Esrei overlap somewhat, perhaps there is a fulfillment of Tefillah B'Tzibur. A final issue that perhaps hinges on what is the nature of Tefillah B'Tzibur. When we daven together with the Tzibur, what occurs? Is it just a bunch of us davening together, but since I'm davening with others, my Tefillah is more likely to get through, to be answered, to get through the Sharia Tefillah? Or perhaps, no, the character of the Tefillah is completely changed, it's taken on a communal aspect. It's with regards to what if a person is davening a different tefillah than the tzibur is davening. Let's say a person comes in to shul, and the tzibur is davening one tefillah, and he needs to daven the previous tefillah. The tzibur is davening, let's say a person comes into shul late on Shabbos, and they're davening musaf, he hasn't davened shachris. So can he chaperein, should he daven shachris first? That's what we would typically do, is daven shachris first, because tadeh v'sheino tadeh tadeh kodem, but he wants to also be the benefit of tefillah b'tzibur. So perhaps he should daven musaf first, to daven along with them. Or perhaps when he davening shachris, even though he's davening shachris, and they're davening musaf, that's also called tefillah b'tzibur. Is that called tefillah b'tzibur or not? So that we had the Gemara earlier, in Maseches Avodah Zarah, which told us, on the Avdal Mabay, is that a person should not daven musaf on Rosh Hashanah alone, b'yachidus, within the first 3 hours of the day. Why not? Because perhaps it'll coincide with the moment the Kadosh Baruch Hu's anger is aroused against Klal Yisrael, and his tefillah will be rejected. So the Gemara said, then why not shachris? We should also not daven b'yachidus the first 3 hours of the day. So the Gemara said no, because the whole tzibur is davening this other Jews davening shachris, and his tefillah will be protected by the tzibur and other places that are davening shachris. But why shouldn't the person who's davening musaf be protected by the others who are davening shachris too? So it sounds like from this Gemara, right, Sir Moshe, that if you're davening a different tefillah than the tzibur, you're not the benefit of tefillah b'tzibur. Tefillah b'tzibur is only for davening the same tefillah that they are davening. And again, that makes sense according to Rav Moshe's general position, that tefillah b'tzibur is a formal obligation, because when you daven b'tzibur, it takes on a communal aspect. But if that's the case, you have to be davening the same tefillah that they're davening. So therefore, says Rav Moshe, if a person comes in late to shul on Shabbos morning, he should daven musaf first. He should daven musaf first. Because otherwise, he won't be the benefit of tefillah b'tzibur, and he'll daven shachris afterwards. He'll daven shachris afterwards. However, the Mishnah Berurah draws the exact opposite conclusion from this Gemara, because the Mishnah Berurah writes over here, Siman Sadi Sivkot and Lamed. In the name of the Tzlach, that the only reason why the person who's davening musaf is not the benefit of tefillah b'tzibur of the others who are davening shachris is because they're not in the same place. Again, if you remember that Gemara in Avodah Zarah was, he's davening b'yachidus, but there's a tzibur elsewhere who's davening shachris. So yes, if you're davening musaf in one place and the tzibur is davening shachris elsewhere, you're not the benefit of tefillah b'tzibur. But if you're davening together with them, the mispali moment based on Knesset's mikri tefillah b'tzibur, even though they're davening musaf and you're davening shachris. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah writes that you can be the benefit of tefillah b'tzibur, even though they're davening musaf and you're davening shachris, you can be the benefit of tefillah b'tzibur. So therefore, a person should daven shachris, should do what he should typically do. Tadeh v'sheino tadeh tadeh. The person who comes in late Shabbos morning to shul, and the tzibur is up to the musaf, and you need to daven shachris, you can daven shachris while they're davening musaf, and you will be the benefit of tefillah b'tzibur. And you daven musaf afterwards. Why? Why can you do that if you know it's a different tefillah than theirs? Again, because perhaps tefillah b'tzibur is not that it transforms the tefillah to be a communal aspect of tefillah. In that case, we have to all be davening the same tefillah. It's a priority in the list of priorities. It's advantageous because when they're davening, the tzibur is davening, your tefillahs are more likely to be answered. You can sneak in along with those tefillahs that are being answered, even though your tefillah on its own merits might not have been answered, can sneak in along with the others. So then it doesn't matter what tefillah is being davened, even if they're davening musaf. If you're davening shachris, the gates of tefillah here are open, then you should be able to sneak in along with them. This is also the issue of, let's say, could come up. Person, a tzibur is davening ma'ariv early, and you didn't daven mincha. So can you daven mincha with their ma'ariv? Also same issue. Or if a person, let's say, forgot Yalv Yavon Rosh Chodesh, should he go to shul and he now has to recite there for a tefillas tashlumin? Because he already, let's say, daven shachris, he forgot Yalv Yavon. So, or he forgot daven mincha and forgot Yalv Yavon. So he has to daven a tefillas tashlumin. Do I have to go to a shul to daven tefillas tashlumin? Can I daven the tefillas tashlumin via chidus? So if tefillah b'tzibur has to be the same type of tefillah that we're all davening together, so then tefillah tashum, and you're never going to find the minion people davening who forgot Yalav Yavon. So you don't have to daven together with the tzibur. No reason to go find the minion for your tefillah tashum. But if the nature if tefillah b'tzibur is simply once the gates of tefillah are open, my tefillah can sneak in, so then even if you're davening a tefillah tashum, perhaps you should go and try and find the minion with which you could daven together at Tfil B'tzibur, even though you're going to be davening at Tfil Tashlumin and they're going to be davening regular Mincha for the first time, it could be, it would be the benefit of Tfil B'tzibur. There's actually an interesting contradiction within the positions of, apparent contradiction within the positions of Shlomo Zalman about another manifestation of this issue. And that is, with regards to a person, let's say who's a ben, Eretz Chutz La'aretz, who finds himself in Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. So he's going to be davening a Yom Tov Tikkun Shmoneh Esrei, but the rest of Eretz Yisrael is davening a Chol Tikkun Shmoneh Esrei. And he's in a place, let's say, where there's no minion of people from Eretz Yisrael, where they're making their own minion. He's going to have to daven together with the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. So is he the benefit of Tfilah B'tzibur if he davens with them? Should he daven make a point of going to shul, even though he's davening a different Shmoneh Esrei than them? So the same for Yom Tov Sheni Kol Chasi, quotes from Shlomo Zalman, that yes, you should go to shul, you will be the benefit of Tfilah B'tzibur, even though they're davening a different Shmoneh Esrei than you. However, Shlomo Zalman was asked about the exact case, but in the reverse, the Ben Eretz Yisrael who's in Chutz La'aretz for Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, and the Ben Eretz Yisrael is going to be davening the Tfilas Chol, and the Bnei Chutz La'aretz is going to be davening the Tfilas Yom Tov. So does he have to make a point to go to shul? Will he be the beneficiary of Tfilah B'tzibur if he goes to shul? And Shlomo Zalman said, he doesn't have to bother going to shul. Either way, he's not going to hop around Tfilah B'tzibur. Why not? The position seems to contradict one another. So in the Sefer Isha Yisrael, he notices this apparent contradiction, and he resolves the contradiction with a fascinating idea. And that is that when you're in Eretz Yisrael, so Shlomo Zalman recommended that the Bnei Chutz La'aretz go and daven with the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, because they're davening at Tfilas Chol, and he's davening at Tfilas Yom Tov. But the truth of the matter is, on a Yom Tov or a Shabbos, if you daven at Tfilas Chol, you're Yoytzei. If you daven at Tfilas Chol for Shachris and Shabbos, you're Yoytzei. So therefore, even though he's davening at Shmoneh Esrei, he could have been Yoytzei with theirs. So therefore, he can daven in a tefillah b'tzibur with them. It's considered to be the same tefillah. However, the Ben Eretz Yisrael, when he's in Chutz La'aretz, they're davening a tefillah Yom Tov, and he's davening a tefillah Chol. For him, it's Chol. For them, it's Yom Tov. If you daven a tefillah Yom Tov on Chol, you're not Yoytzei. It's only if you daven a tefillah Chol on Yom Tov, you're Yoytzei. If you daven a tefillah Yom Tov on Chol, you're not Yoytzei. So he says the Ben Eretz Yisrael who go and daven with the Bnei Chutz La'aretz in Chutz La'aretz, he can't relate to their tefillah. Because the tefillah that they're davening, he cannot be yotze with. He cannot be yotze with the tefillah Yom Tov Anchol. So therefore, Shlomo Zalman writes that he doesn't have to bother going to shul. However, it could be, again, if tefillah b'tzibur is not that it transforms the tefillah to be a communal tzibur, it's simply when other people are davening and the gates of tefillah are open, my tefillah could sneak into, then perhaps it doesn't make a difference. Ben Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, Ben Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael would be the benefit of tefillah b'tzibur, as long as he's davening together with the tzibur, even though he's davening a different Shmoneh Esrei.